Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save
big money at Menards. Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
A useful-looking announcement from Panther Metals. The company has teamed up with Traxys, one of the biggest names in commodities trading in the world. The news relates to Panther's Winston Tailings Project in Canada. Here to tell us what the implications are and what it means, Darren Hazelwood, Chief Executive of Panther. Hello to you, Darren. How are you?
Morning, Ashley. I'm very well, thank you. Really pleased to get news out today.
Yeah, I'm sure you're pleased about that. It looks good for a company like Panther to be tying in with or teaming up with Traxys. Tell us a little bit about what the implications of that tie-in are.
Well, look, it brings a level of expertise on the trading side that a company wouldn't have. We also, from the get-go on the work that we're doing at Winston, it brings in an understanding of what the trading companies are after and ultimately what are we looking for here. This is all about cash flow, and it's about us supplying and bringing a product to market via a trading house that the market wants. And that's exactly the information and the work programs that we can work with Traxys from the start on delivering, and it will allow us to bring everything forward and just a little bit further down the line with somebody like Traxys on board. There's obviously the benefits in terms of potential debt funding, for instance. It brings a lot of confidence to any debt providers that you're working alongside a company like Traxys from the outset. You're not bringing them in as a partner at the end to try and complete the circle. We've now completed the circle. The expertise required is there in terms of the geological understanding and what's going on at Winston, what went into his tailings ponds. There's never been an issue there. Then you have the technical studies, and we've got those covered through the announcement, in working with Extract, who ultimately are owned by Bechtel. And now you've got the sales and financial processes all in hand and all covered. So this becomes a completed program for us. Look, the numbers have got to stack up. We've got the historic data in terms of what went into this tailings pond. There's a lot of confidence internally around those. And obviously, Traxys would have done their due diligence, and they wouldn't be entering in to a public partnership with a £6-7 million market cap junior in London, unless there was a certain level of confidence from their side as well. So, yeah, fantastic for everyone, including the shareholders, which I'm delighted about.
I mean, you mentioned the due diligence from Traxys in passing there. I mean, it does seem to send a strong signal to the market that there's really something at Winston worth paying attention to if a company of the ilk of Traxys is getting in at this stage.
Absolutely. Look, Traxys, they turn over circa $8 billion per year. They are one of only three companies on the American Vault project that was only very recently announced. Three trading companies, that's a $12 billion project going via Washington for the United States to secure critical mineral supply. They're extremely well connected, not just in North America. They've got 20 offices globally. And the fact that they recognize the work that we're doing and the aims we have. Now, Traxys don't want to get involved in anyone unless production is very short term in relation to the sector. And we're dealing with a site at Winston that's got road network directly up to the mine site gate that is there. And the security box is at that mine site gate, still in place, still used. It's a fenced off mine site. It's a mine site run and controlled by First Quantum at this point that we have an option over. It's got the road network fully maintained on the mine site as well. It's got power. It's got a big transformer on the mine site directly off of the power grid. All infrastructure is in place on this project other than the processing plant and some tidying up. And that's a rare beast. So what does that actually mean for the company, for the project, for production? It means that the CapEx at Winston has to be very, very low in comparison to almost any other project you would find.
And so tell us a little bit more about the actual tailings themselves then, Darren. There's a long list of commodities that are apparently contained in these tailings. What is it about the tailings that looks so attractive to you guys?
Well, they're polymetallic tailings. So what happens is you have to have water cover over them to keep it stable. And we know it's a historic VMS deposit at Winston. And it's the broad reach of commodity that's in there. Now, you can find that information out from the historic production reports. It's mentioned in the feasibility study conducted by Metallum and announced in 2021. And we know that the recoveries on the gold, when they were mining, were not fantastic, in fairness. I think that the reported recoveries peaked at about 20.54%. And then it fell and recoveries of gold was no longer reported. And that's because the plant was optimized to recover the zinc. You have to remember that back then, the value of gold is, this is in and around the Gordon Brown era, where gold got down to around $270 an ounce, and up to circa $400. So the economics didn't make sense to refine the recoveries to focus on the gold rather than the zinc. The zinc was paymaster on this site. So as a result, the amount of gold that went into the tailings pond was relatively high by today's standards. And since then, of course, we've seen gold move above 5,000, and it's still pushing that sort of $5,000 price range. And that's an incredible move. And you've got an identical scenario with the silver. We've seen over 13 grams a ton silver in our test work. And we would expect that to be mirrored, if not exceeded, across the current work going on. And you've also got, obviously, the gallium, very, very important commodity globally. And with the American critical minerals situation, it's a perfect element to have within that tailings pond. And you've got the indium, you've got some copper, you've got some zinc. All of it adds up to a package that we're looking forward to getting the MRE on the project that we expect out late, very, very late Q1, probably very early Q2. And that also triggers the next stage with Traxy and with our partners. It's quite a moment in time, actually.
So bringing it back to the beginning of our conversation, which are the aspects of this project which really interest Traxys then? Do they like the gold, the silver, the entire commodities basket? What is it that has piqued their interest about the project?
Well, it's a commodity basket and a low capex project. And obviously, the broader spread of your commodity basket, that lowers your risk profile. And I don't think that's got up missed by Traxy. And Traxy, at the end of the day, are a trading house. They want to secure supply. And in fact, they're an expanding company and they're growing. They're looking to source more and more supply. across the globe, and we're now part of that process.
So you mentioned plans to put out a mineral resource estimate in a short order there, Darren, possibly by the end of the current quarter or early in the second quarter. Tell us about the steps that are going to be taken to get you there.
Yeah, no, so the MRE is being conducted by SRK, who are a global geological consultants, very well respected. They have been on site during the startup of the process to make sure that they're happy with that. And then as the results start filtering through, that will enable them to build their model, and the final results will get slotted in. That will produce your MRE. It's not an overly complex process once you have your results in. It's just a case of putting all the numbers together. And at the bottom of your spreadsheet, you're going to get a total of what the value of the known commodity in that pond is.
And for any of our viewers and listeners who might not know, is there a difference or are there any differences in the way you go about calculating a resource estimate for a tailings project than for a normal project?
No, the advantage we've got and why this can be done very quickly is in a tailings pond, you have already, by its nature, a defined border and a defined depth. So you already know the parameters. You've got to think of this as an ore body on surface. And everything is already defined by nature, by where the tailings ponds was placed and the tailings dam. So it becomes a relatively straightforward process. Whereas in the ground, you've got no visibility on the parameters. So you can't have in the early stages, the certainty you can have in the early stages of a tailings pond. So that again allows you to accelerate the process forward. So that it works beautifully.
And are you able to say much at this point about how big the Winston project will be in terms of perhaps production or, I don't know, any other metrics that you might be able to talk about?
We've got an idea of what went into that pond, a very good idea. But let's let our work prove it. The tailing side of the business is not something that we're looking to, we're not viewing Winston as a one-stop shop. So there are already plans in place and plans afoot to be able to show a continual production route going into the long term. But I've got to prove that to the market, bring that to the market at the right moment. But we're very comfortable with our own numbers, our own working out that this will be a robust project to bring into production. And at a £6-7 million market cap where we're at the moment, it's quite an incredible moment for everyone.
You mentioned Extract earlier in the conversation. What role will they play?
So Extract have got proprietary technology, and this is non-cyanide, non-acid. So it has environmental benefits against traditional methods, and they are getting results from the extraction process that far exceed traditional methods at this stage. And that's what's drawn us into that. I've got to thank Ryan Mee from Fulcrum for highlighting the benefits here of Extract, and they've been a pleasure to deal with. So, you know, to being at the cutting edge of a new technology that has the potential to transform the industry is also an exciting moment for Panther.
So will that processing by Extract, presumably that will begin to come into its own more and more, especially after the resource estimate has been released by you guys. How will the project be moving forward after that resource estimate is out?
I think the easiest way at this point is to say that we've extracted four phases. And we're entering phase one. By the end of phase four, you have a complete design and plant build, along with recoveries, effectively DFS. You're ready to mine or process.
Yeah, so you'll be in big in a good position at that point. And how long do you think that will take you to get there?
We're going to push this through as quickly as we can. We as I say, we've got a good awareness of what's in there, and we have again our own internal metrics. See, now we're with Traxys, as every phase we go through, effectively will be the company knocking down gating issues in terms of taking to production. So with Traxys being in with us at such an early stage, that actually allows us to bring the meetings forward that you need to be able to bring this into production and have those serious conversations. So it's about removing unnecessary delays and kicking forward. Now, it also enables us to engage with the communities, explain to them what's happening. And look, tailings dams in communities are often viewed with some concern. So when you go into a community, and we have to make sure that we're getting the message across that effectively what we're doing, we're coming in, we're reprocessing the what's in the tailings dam. At this stage, our aim would be to dry stack the tailings post-processing. So the end is that you remove the tailings dam in its entirety, and the tailings are then clean of any nasties that may be residual within that process. So you're actually, in the first stage, you're an environmental cleanup company that has a commercial return via processing the commodity that's contained within the tailings. So it does potentially tick a huge number of boxes for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, look,
but what that also speeds up the processes. You see the permit process, etc. You face less resistance. Apologies for interruption there.
Yes, I was going to mention permitting actually. Presumably, the permitting is looked upon more favourably by the relevant authorities in the light of the cleanup aspect that there is to this project.
You would hope so.
And how's it going with the permitting? Because you do mention permitting in your releases as a kind of ongoing part of the development process.
Yeah, look, permitting is permitting. Now, we've got certain aspects that we don't have to worry about. Because this is a mine site that's under a closure plan and has everything to site, there are certain elements you don't have to worry about. For instance, it's got power to site. It's got roads straight to site. All the things that potentially impact the environment, they're already there. So there's nothing you have to do on that side. What we're going to have to do is prove that the process works and improve that and show that the end result is that the environment and the local area will be better off post the work that we do on this brownfield site. And all indications are that's exactly what's going to happen.
So there's a lot going on here and a lot that's very exciting for you guys. Let me ask you about other potential partners then. Now that you've signed up Traxys, a great name to have in Panther press releases, does that mean that do you think other companies may be encouraged to take an interest or is it more of an exclusive deal that you've got? Tell us a little bit about whether you think you're going to be able to bring anybody else in.
But in terms of Winston?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Why would we? We've got the potential. If the numbers stack up on the potential production, my aim and my stated aim here is always that we go to debt finance as opposed to equity finance, which equity finance is always the most tricky thing for a junior explorer because shareholders have concerns of huge dilution the very moment they go into production. Now, if you can keep your CapEx very reasonable, if you can show a plan where you want to finance over, say, five, you're going to get more support from the institutions. And that's why I discussed there earlier that we're also making inroads into expanding the tailings side of the business because that actually brings the debt markets even more favorably in your way. they don't want a loan and to be paid within 6 months. They'd rather you issue equity. Because to be honest with you, it's a scenario where the repayments on the capital are so low for them that they lose interest really quickly. So we know where we're at in the capital markets. We know that the Traxys can help, and that's their job to help. That we know they know the site. And we've got everything in hand.
So that's great then. So let's talk about the wider positioning of Panther for a little bit then, Darren, before we wrap up the conversation. One way of looking at the company might be to say that you've got Winston there. It looks like it's going to be providing early cash flow for you guys, relatively speaking. And you'll then be able to support much wider and more ambitious exploration projects elsewhere in the portfolio with that cash flow. Now, what's your view? Is that a sort of reasonable way to look at Panther?
Absolutely. Look, almost universally, the biggest mining companies in the world are built on cash flow. Okay, you've got Rio Tinto that were founded in Spain, in Rio Tinto, in the 1870s, 80s, right? You've got Tenet, Norman Keever, who made his first discovery in the late 50s. But they actually used oil and gas in the early 60s to help fund and build the business. And they soon exited back into hard rock once that had generated some income. But again, what the reason I mentioned that, it highlights the need for cash flow. Glencore, they're a trading house, right? And they ended up taking over some big players. But their heart initially was that they had cash flow and they were trading. And these are the big, big players. And I recognize that. And at Panther, I appreciate that we're a macro stock at this point. I've got zero ambitions to keep it as a macro stock. I like to use history as the best teacher on future events. And I'm positioning Panther to have the cash flow so that we're not absolutely reliant on the equity markets in the medium term. And that we've got the potential for mine discoveries elsewhere. Now, if we haven't got the potential for a mine within our portfolio, I'm not interested. Do I want to overextend the business? Absolutely not. But when you look at the potential for Wishbone, the opportunity that's been recognized by the wider industry, awkward on the potential conduit system there, and then you go across the dotted lake, we've got hundreds of meters of magnesium from only three holes into an ultramafic intrusive that contains 0.13% nickel as well on average. And we haven't even, it's like sticking three pins into the side of Wembley Stadium for the size of this ultramafic intrusive body. You've got the potential for a massive sulfide belt, which would contain the big copper. The soil anomalies around this ultramafic in terms of copper are absolutely outrageous. But we're going to send some test work to the labs on the magnesium, actually, four dotted. That's kind of a relatively free shot at something to see if they can recover the magnesium, because if anybody got their calculator out, that would frighten them. So I have to be cautious when talking about what we're doing at Dotted just on this testing. So you've got a blue sky all around the business, where the heart of this business is production and cash flow to ultimately fund that blue sky. And that's what I'm doing. Why am I doing it this way? Because I know history teaches me that the real big wins, the real big companies are built from cash flow.
And so can we expect much activity on the exploration portfolio in the coming months?
Oh, we're in the process of getting the pulp from Dotted to the labs as we speak. Wishbone, we're actually flagging a trip. So historically, Wishbone, we've helicoptered in and out, which is expensive. And we have a route that we can go in from the north of Bonga Lake and come down to Wishbone, which would be road or trail access You know, it's a combination of historic trails, linking those up with the north route over by Bonga Lake. And we actually have plans to start flagging that trail this weekend. We did a drone survey on Wishbone in the middle of probably spring, I would say, of 2025. We're encouraged by that results. They are currently with Aurora, who are working directly with Broken Rock, who are our option partner at Bonga. And Aurora, Elaine of Aurora, is a renowned target geologist, and she's working with us. Once we've got that information back from Aurora, we'll complete the package and get that out to market, and we can sit through and go with it with you on what we're targeting, why we're targeting it. Because you've got to remember that we hit 11.6% zinc over half a meter at Wishbone. It's a big system. We've got anomalous copper over 10 kilometers by 2 kilometers that is outrageous in terms of background levels of copper in Ontario, in Northwest Ontario. You won't have the zinc in there, even though this is a big VMS system, because what happens with zinc is that the organic matter actually sucks up the zinc, uses the zinc for growth. So you never get the residue zinc at surface. The copper anomalies are something else. And that we had a chairman, Nick. He worked with Mod Resources and Metal Tiger in London, who had a staking mod on the Botswana copper vein, the Kalahari copper belt. And he sees a huge number of similarities between what he saw in the early stages of the deposit that ultimately was sold to Samphire in a big deal. He sees a lot of similarities from what he saw there in the early stages on the Kalahari Copper Belt and pre-discovery of what he's seen at Wishbone at this point. So we're really excited. We've waited a good few years to get back to this project, and we haven't gone back on purpose. We could have gone back there and done one or two holes, but it's not a one or two hole project. Once we get in there, we want to get in there and we want to make a discovery. To be able to make that discovery, you need funding. We've announced the funding that we did a couple of weeks ago. We have that, and we're going to work with it.
And I suppose we should say that all this activity is taking place in Ontario, as you sort of briefly alluded to there, one of the great mining jurisdictions of the world.
Absolutely. And I think it's worth people remembering. You go on to your ChatGPTs and look at this. You've got Sturgeon's Lake Greenstone Belt, about 80 kilometers to the west of Bonga, which is the next Greenstone Belt along. And then after that, you go across the lake, and then you're on a Geraldton Greenstone Belt. Well, the Bonga sits between the two, but it's never been explored in any great depth. Sturgeon's Lake, sister Greenstone Belt to Bonga, they've had five past producing mines that all produce commercially. Geraldton has got over 20 mines. You've got Equinox Gold have opened a mine in the last 18 months there. Yeah, it's got over 20 currently producing, past producing mines. Bonga is only 2.5 hours north of Thunder Bay, which is the major urban conurbation in northwest Ontario. The setting is perfect, and that hasn't got unmissed, to be honest with you. But the bigger players in the industry, they like a proper discovery hole. They've got corporate beasts to satisfy. So will they come in at early exploration? They're getting close, but no, I don't think they will. I mean, they're potentially too much value for us locked up. So let us do our work. Let us do discovery, and then we can decision post that. But it's all happening.
So much to be excited about, Darren. Why don't you close us out with a brief summary of the news flow that we can expect in the coming months as we go into the summer?
Yeah, well, look. The underlying thing, Winston. Winston is the number one priority here. Let's get Winston in. You know, the aim is production, so let's get that production. But as you're going to see results, you're going to see MRE, you're then going to see phase two, three, four all kick in. This will develop, and this will be an ongoing news-rich project. You'd also expect news on Dotted. Now, Dotted is an interesting one because it's just simply a metallurgical test. And as I say, we have to be extraordinarily cautious here. If the metallurgical results were positive, then you'd have to I let people do their own numbers in terms of what's there. I've well publicized the size of the ultramafic intrusive body there. Let people do their own calculations. But if those are positive, I think we can comfortably say it has the potential to be transformative, even though it's a very low cost first stage of this exercise. And then you've got Avonga. Avonga, we are in the process of going drilling at Wishbone later on in the year. We will drill Awkward as well. Awkward is the project in the business that's generated the most interest from the industry, but it's a binary target. It's a conduit. We believe it's the feeder for the awkward batholith on the Avonga Greenstone Belt. Now, what happens here is, just to explain very briefly, molten lava effectively flows through a tube, okay? And that molten lava is carrying commodity. And that commodity is heavier than the surrounding liquid or fluid. So it goes on, it drops to the bottom of the molten lava. So you're then at the bottom of this conduit or this pipe, that's where your ore deposits form. And that's why, because it's right. But this process happens over, now we've got graphite that we've found, which is a great indicator. It's a great pathfinder. And the graphite takes millions of years to form in a natural environment. It needs loads of heat. So actually, it does align with our theory. So then that's where deposits form. So it makes it a binary target. Okay, we know that we've got PGs. We know we've got nickel. We know we've got copper. We've got PGs at surface at a place called T Lake, which is at one end of the conduit. We know we were in the 1967 in the larger area. Newmont announced they thought there was a billion tons at 0.2% nickel. Massive, absolutely vast. No one's ever found the source. And we believe that this has the potential to be the source for what's going on in the wider area. You've got nickel anomalies. So we've got to be careful. We've got to make sure that investors are aware exactly what we're doing, where our focus is as well. Elon mentioned all of that, but Awkward's easy. You'll put your holes in, you'll get to the bottom of the conduit, you'll hit your massive sulfide that will contain the high-grade commodity, or you won't. Then there really is no other outcome there, and you'll know pretty quickly. That's why we can move that down the line a little bit, because it's effectively easy. So you've got to think, Panther, what are the targets? Number one, Winston, production. Number two, Wishbone. And just leave us with Dotted Lake, leave us with Awkward. It's all happening.
Well, we look forward to watching it all unfold as the weeks and months progress. Darren, a very exciting year ahead for Panther Metals, now in partnership with Traxys. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.